come on in. Like I said, we've got an active show going on, or load-in at least. So, but we can go all upstairs, mezzanine, a little bit on the main floor. But depending on how your audio is, you tell me where you want to go.
We're the spooks. We want to see the ghosts.
Upstairs. Say, right. That's the spooky spot.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah, that's where our woman in green is.
Woman in green.
She is one of our most famous ghosts.
I'm Janine Holcomb, and I'm the Marketing and Communications Director here at the Egyptian Theater. So tonight we have the Great Gatsby Ballet for the World Ballet Company.
Wow.
So they've been with us before. In 2019, they brought Swan Lake here.
Thanks again for letting us come and talk with you today. We kind of got the idea for this. We were in Woodstock doing a different podcast about Groundhog's Day.
Oh, that took
And we
place.
Stopped by their theater, and it was completely empty, and they had the single ghost light there on the stage, and it was such like a striking thing. We're mm-hmm. like, we kind of got curious about it, and then here we are getting ready for Halloween. So we thought, what better place to go than the Egyptian?
When the Great Gatsby's setting up, do you guys have a ghost light on
We
your
do.
Stage?
So you can see Alejandro standing right there in the black hoodie. Deck's stage right. That's where our ghost light lives. So, yep, once the show is done tonight, we will turn off the lights, put the ghost light out. We abide by that superstition. We do not let it.
Can you tell us what the origin of that is, or what it's
totally.
All about?
So it started way back in the European theater circuit, and it was basically if you leave a theater dark, evil spirits will come in and ruin your business and ruin your shows. So you never leave a theater dark, for it is cursed. We also say it's a great nightlight, because as you look around us, we don't have any windows in here. So when you come in, the first one to leave or the first one to enter in the day, it is quite dark. So on our ghost tours, we love to joke, like, it also keeps us from tripping and falling and dying and becoming a ghost here. So it does work as just a great nightlight. But yeah, it is very much from Broadway to high school auditoriums to opera houses like Woodstock to us. You will absolutely find a single light on stage called the ghost light.
Okay.
And it's fun when you see a lot of, if you start noticing and know kind of the lore of the ghost light, all of a sudden you'll start noticing that name come up. So like we were in Cleveland at their theater district, and one of the bars is the ghost light bar. And then like you'll have a Tennessee theater down in Knoxville. During the pandemic, they did a live streaming series when we were all shut down called the ghost light series. And it was very much like all these different ways of like, what's happening behind the scenes at the theater, because that's the only time the ghost light is out.
Yeah, it was kind of a thing during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I remember theaters were posting pictures of the ghost lights saying, like, we'll be
we're
back,
still here,
kind of.
And we'll come back.
I remember that.
Oh, that's cool.
Very much so. And I feel like that was, that kind of resurgence of the lore of the ghost light when we were all very much dark for 12, 15 months at a time. And so it's been really nice to be able to push it back to, the wings for now, to have, a big show like this load in. But no, we absolutely believe in it. And we still have some ghosties here, but we like to say they're Caspers. We keep away the scary ones. They're all mischievous ghosts here.
What does your ghost light look like?
Sure. So it's just like a floor lamp without a shade on top. It is very utilitarian, as we say. We did just change it to a nice warm light as compared to a cool tone light. Yeah. I prefer it. But yeah, it's very
What's the wattage?
Rudimentary. I should know, probably like 60. It's really not much. It's just a nice little
regular
glow.
Light bulb.
Yeah, it's just a regular
just
light bulb.
Just enough to keep away the evil spirits,
totally.
But not overdo.
Yes, where you're not walking in being like, oh my gosh. Okay. So no, it's very much, we'll have, like we do our booze and spirits flashlight tours here, so we take all the lights down, and then we go on stage, backstage, balcony, and when we're on stage, we always ask, does anyone know what this light is called? And most people go, bright? And you're like, correct. But yes, then it's the ghost light, and give them kind of the backstory and what that is, as we're kind of telling them the history of the theater, as well as all the ghosts that we have here.
Yeah. Is there decisions that go into choosing the ghost light?
That's a great question. I haven't heard. I know, so before we were open 24 months, before the pandemic and went through the expansion, we had a part-time technical director. Now we have a full-time, and his crew, as you can see and hear, are fully working. So I think now that we have an actual full-time crew, there's probably more input. It hasn't been shared with the marketing department. But no, I know, other than making sure one's always lit, and there have been times where maybe someone forgot to put it out, and the next morning we'll be like, hey, someone forgot to put out the ghost light. We do not let that happen. So other than that and making sure it goes out, I can't think of anything too in-depth, but Alejandro might have a different methodology.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah, now this they're getting the projectors all lined up. Well, and that's because, so with our ghost light, our theater is built for vaudeville. So this theater, yes, you're standing up here in the balcony, you have a great sight line. You can see what they're doing, you can hear what they're doing on stage, and that's because this was built before the addition of sound systems and or any big lighting systems or projector systems. So now we have these great sight lines. However, that means our backstage space is tiny because it was meant for a guy with a hula hoop and a stool, and that was it. You're like, hey, it's really entertaining. And now our dance recitals are so in depth that, so now we have these abilities with different projectors. So these will be backdrops for the show tonight. So you don't have to bring in more set pieces, allow more space for the dancers, but still create that immersive experience for the audience without having to really cram everything in. So, yeah.
You mentioned the booze and spirits flashlight tour. That sounds so cool. I think, unfortunately, by the time this is out, that'll be done. But next year, people can check that out.
We do them all year round. So we'll have some in January.
It's B-O-O-S.
B-O-O-S-Z-E. Okay, there we go.
All right. And spirits. So more spirits you consume, good, the more spirited it is in here. We did start adding that. So we used to do them just flashlight tours. As we did our expansion, we were able to add our new concession stand, which really allowed us to do a lot more different things. So we tried to rebrand. But it's really fun. We do a 90-minute tour. So it's half history of kind of the theater's history, how we got here. And then we tell all of the different ghost stories from the lady in green to the people on stage, to down the dressing rooms. And like I said, it's a really great, because you get the people that are really into ghosts, and that's fantastic. But then by the end, they're like, I didn't know this much about the theater. I want to come back. You're like, perfect. Yeah. That's what we're really hoping, is that not only are you excited and engaged with our ghosts, but you want to come back here and support great art, like the Great Gatsby Ballet, or support another great nonprofit that's on our stage. And we get a really great captive audience to tell that story along with all of our ghost stories. So that's been huge. We just finished our one for 2025 last week, but we will be adding more in 2026, hopefully in January. We love a wintertime ghosty story.
Oh, cool.
Stay tuned. Our website's egyptiantheater.org, and we tend to do those quarterly, but they're very limited space. We only keep about 30 people because we really want you to be able to feel the space, not feel like you're, herding cats at some point. But it's a really fun, I'm fairly biased, I give the tour, but it's a very fun tour to do. Exactly, they're here. They're arriving.
The lights just turned off.
They know.
It was really dark without the ghost light on there for a second.
It's true. Without the ghost light, it is dark in here.
Okay, we got to know about some of the ghosts then. Please. The Green Lady,
yes.
Who is she?
So that is, I love the question of who is she, because so much of our history is somewhat lost to time. We've worked with different historians like Steve Bigelin and stuff locally, but we don't know who she is. It's been a repetitive thing. So people from all different walks of life, from people who perform here, people who work here, people who just stop by during Cornfest, say, do you have a ghost? And is she in a green dress upstairs? And so that kind of repetition, there's one where I was on this tour for the ghost tour before I worked here, and Alex, my executive director, told the story of someone on stage saying, hey, I thought the balcony was closed. There was a woman up there. What was that about? Man. Now I'm working here, and we have a magician.
That's right where we are now.
And I can show you that is right where we are now. And so we had this magician. The balcony was closed. So as marketing, if the balcony's closed, I'm in the front row taking pictures because it's the best spot, as you can see. And after the show, I talked to the magician, said, great job. What'd you think? How'd it go? And he's like, oh, it was great. But who was the woman in the balcony? And I go, oh, that was me. That was me taking pictures. And he goes, up there, I could see a woman in a dress. And I go, now, I'm a healthy skeptic. I go, Bill, from there to there, how could you tell a woman was in a dress? And he goes, the aisle lights. They're not on right now, but I could see her dress walk back and forth across the aisle lights, and it kept catching my eye, and it kept distracting me.
She
was walking back and forth watching the show. And I was like, you shut up. I was up there the entire time. So we get stuff like that where performers will see her. We've had a spotlight operator once during a musical here, and they said, hey, there's a cast member up here in costume. Can you make sure they're down the dressing rooms? And we're like, that's not a costumer, a cast member. That's one of our ghosts. So she's often misinterpreted as a living, breathing human being. We've had different mediums here. Many of them just were private investigation tours, and many of them have said that she's aware that she's passed. She just likes this space. Many times they've been like, oh, yeah, she's standing by you and thinks it's funny. I'm like, you don't need to tell me. I don't need to know the proximity. That's what we've been told about her. So it has been more of a ghost of repetition. So I talked to Steve Bigelin to just, be like, hey, would something have happened? And he goes, it might not have been reported in the paper in the 30s, at that time. It might have been too salacious if something had happened. He goes, or, maybe it's just a spirit that's come back because I like this space. Gatsby's here!
Whoa.
Do you know what kind of dress it was? It like a big Victorian?
So a long, more like 20s, 30s dress. So we think she was a vaudeville performer. This is all based off hearsay and kind of the stories we get from people who keep coming and keeping like, they keep getting the name Emma, Claire, all different kind of turn of the century names. And someone kind of said, maybe those are her characters. You're like, maybe. But long green dress with a long cigarette holder is usually kind of what people have seen her as. My sister actually made friends with a medium, as you do. And I was like, fantastic. Tell her nothing and bring her to the theater. And she starts bringing up this woman in the green dress. And I go, oh, yeah, she's always up in the balcony. And she points across the lobby to where the stained glass scarab beetle window is, which used to be our offices. She goes, no, she's over there. I'm like, that's ghost proof. That's not allowed. That's where we work. So she tends to wander about, but mostly she's seen on the upper portions of her balcony.
So she could be here.
She could be here. She probably is. But based off the stories we tell, she's probably standing between us thinking it's hilarious and wants to make her radio podcast debut.
I mean, that's light over on that side, but this is
it's because it's burnt out. But yeah, no, she did that. It's all her.
All right. How do you feel with your back towards her
Do you feel
area?
Anything?
I just saw something flash.
I don't smell
there.
Smoke. Is she smoking?
So
she's a smoker?
We do get that smell of smoke often. And that's a different ghost here. That's who we think is Irv. He's part of the desk. I can show you that as we walk out. That's down in the lobby space. But we do have another ghost that we think we know by name. We think his name is Irv. He's been around. We think what we've been told is that he isn't as viral, that he's passed, and that he is still giving us orders. So I have another boss. I have two, one organic, one inorganic. but he's been also known to smell cigarette smoke. My husband, who is a super, super skeptical man, super does not believe in this, but I give the ghost tours, and if I have to do it by myself, then he comes and helps me shut down because I'm a scaredy cat.
Yeah.
And the one time we're shutting down, and he's like, oh, do you smell cigarette smoke? And I thought it was our facility director coming in. I said, oh, I bet you it's Pete. He's probably having a smoke outside. No one there. And I go, well, let's check out by the back fence. No one there. And he goes, you know where I'm smelling it? Right here at this desk. And I go, I think Irv's trying to make you a believer. Because we even had cigarette butts show up for a while around his desk until our box office manager said, why don't we put out an ashtray? And then they stopped. So he's a very courteous ghost. But yeah, it's really interesting. I didn't ask. That's a good question. So I can leave him an offering, like no one than a friend. Yeah, I don't know. But I'm sure we could find out.
Yeah,
But yeah, so those are our two most famous ghosts.
Okay, so the lady
Alejandra, you got me real good. Sorry, our technical director is just walking up the stairs right now, and I thought you were a ghost. We do scare each other sometimes.
I imagine.
You know, it happens.
I could see that.
Naturally and on purpose.
Do they think Irv maybe was an employee of the theater?
So Irv was an employee here that we do know. So Irv was actually one of the individuals. He actually passed away here in the 80s. And this is something, it's been in the paper. You can find it in the Northern Star.
Okay, I think I might have heard about this.
So this is in November of 88 or 89. And he was one of the individuals that really helped save the theater. So we're incredibly grateful to him. If he wants to hang out here forever, he is welcome to it. Because this building would be a parking lot if it wasn't for him and his wife and all of those individuals in the late 70s that said they don't build buildings like this anymore. So we only feel it's right that he hangs out with us. I like him. I've had interns that call him our guardian angel because she's like, oh, he just gets feisty when things are going rough for the theater. He's usually seen in aisle one on the main floor. So that's all the way along the one side with the wall. He worked here in the 80s and then sadly passed here, but he's on our Wikipedia page and we love to tell the stories of these because I feel like that's so much of the Egyptian theater is storytelling. It's all of the memories that are in here and whether they still want to hang out beyond that, I love it.
Yeah.
And it's just, we get to keep sharing their stories, why this building might have been so important to them, why they still want to be here. Who knows? Maybe I'll be here. Hopefully in a long time.
Yeah.
We joke all the time of which part of the theater we're all going to haunt, and I'd say my boss is going to haunt the lights. Alex will haunt the lights. That is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good.
I haven't picked my spot yet.
Okay.
I'll wait.
Yeah.
See, whenever we have a marketing department, that's eventually, one day, down the way.
Okay. Very good. I don't want to scare you, Dan, but Irv was an English professor.
He was.
NIU.
He was? Mm-hmm. How did you know that?
I read the Northern Star.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so
and he died in the building?
He did, right next to his favorite
seat,
Kummerfeld. So he was a professor at NIU, and him and his wife were very instrumental in helping save the building. His wife actually served as the executive director here from the 70s into the 90s. Very, very highly. Yes, a smoker. That's usually when we smell smoke, we think it's Irv.
Okay.
Oh, he's definitely here.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
He's probably watching the show get set up and make sure we're doing a good job, honestly.
When
we've had the different mediums here, many of them are like, yeah, there's this man. He's making sure you're doing your job right. I'm like, that's good. I appreciate another set of eyes on the Egyptian theater and making sure we're doing our job.
Do you get a sense of whether they prefer the live theatrical performances versus
that's
the movies?
A good question. I know they like people in the building, so I can tell you, during the pandemic when we were shut down, so I think it was a perfect storm for Ghosts. We were under construction. We were expanding the footprint of the Egyptian Theater for the first time since 1929. So that already, I think, was a lot. And then we had a very tough time, as we were talking beforehand, of just live entertainment during the pandemic did not mix. Obviously, we could not take carry out ballet. So we were in a very rough position, and they were very active at that time. Since we've kind of gotten back into the swing of things, there's times where me and Alex joke, like, I don't know, maybe they're on vacation. And I think they like when the theater is doing what the theater is meant to do, whether that was from 1929 or 2025, the theater is meant to gather people to take in art, whether that be a movie, whether that be a musical, whether that be another nonprofit pushing their mission. I tend to feel that vibe, that they seem at peace when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Take that as you will.
I think Our Lady in Green is going to enjoy this. Oh. Can you imagine?
This is the Great right up Gatsby? Her vibe. This is
yeah,
right
she's
up.
Totally gonna
yeah, she sounds like a bit of a flapper.
Right?
Yeah. Over my shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah. I keep looking over your shoulder.
We do get a lot of talk that she is very flirtatious with men, so oh, yeah? watch yourself. Or if you're wanting to flirt with the undead, you're welcome to it.
I like much older ladies. I
think they like this. Yeah, who knows when she's from. But yeah, no, I think it's fun that we just get to, you know, tell these stories, see what type of occurrence we have. I mean, the engagement we get on those flashlight tours is so much fun. We've had so many different pictures, videos, people coming up saying, I think I saw something, and they're so excited to share with us. It's the unknown. What is it? What energy was here? Why are they still here? What stories can we tell? And that's how we kind of interpret it of, it's just another untold energy that's in this building. And there's so many that's still to come, so much more energy on the stage, off the stage. There's more drama off than on sometimes. And that's just exciting for us to keep, you know, those paranormal patrons entertained, and that we keep doing what we're supposed to be doing and keep the mission of the Egyptian Theater going. So there's Irv, the woman in the green dress. There used to be a building that sat right where the theater sat before it was here in 1929, and it used to be a boarding house. And so we sometimes get little kids' ghosts during the summertime, which is terrifying. Yeah. I don't need to hear children playing when there's no children there. That's a terrifying thing. That's a horror movie. So she's gone by now. She's wintering down south. Good for her.
good. Wow.
Yeah. And then our dressing rooms and our stage are probably the most active. And it's funny because, as you see, like today, there's so much activity on stage. And so much of the time when people would come, especially people who have been here, they're like, oh, it's not that haunted down there. You're like, right, because there's a million people down there. There could be a ghost screaming in the corner and you would have no idea. She'd be like, cool, places. So when we started taking time to really pay attention, be quiet and intentional, we've got a lot more activity up there, people getting tapped on the shoulder, all of that different stuff down in the main performing spaces, which... that's where, as you know, if you're into this, you know, paranormal, it's so much about energy. And energy on stage and off stage is always at a high. Everyone there is just vibrating so high because you're about to be on stage. You've got nerves. You've got excitement. Maybe sadness if it didn't go well. There's just a lot. And so we think that's maybe why they're the most active. And that's where all of our power comes into the building. So sometimes there's also that mentality of they need power to manifest. And we've got a lot of power coming into this building, and it's all coming in through the dressing rooms is where our main electrical is. So yeah, it's definitely interesting the kind of ways you can go into the, you know, quote-unquote science behind the paranormal and why they might be where they are and why they're doing what they're doing. Me and Alex, I say we still can remain a healthy skeptic, but I have had many things happen here that I cannot explain, and it happens all the time. And when I first worked here, I kept telling Alex, I'm like, I feel like I see things out of the corner of my eyes, and I think I'm just going crazy. And he goes, does it happen anywhere else? And I go, no. And he goes, And I go, don't tell me that. So yeah, a lot of you think someone walks up beside you, you think someone's coming up, you get those steps like the balcony. So that's been mostly my experiences. My boss has seen full apparitions. You'll get that kind of vibe where all of a sudden your coworker will look past you and you're like, oh, what did you just see? And they're like, I think I saw a man walking over there. And like, okay. So yeah, we like to say they're Caspers though. They're very fun. They're very mischievous. I still don't want to see one. but they tend to do mostly mischievous things, close doors, move stuff, make knocking sounds, no pushing, no scratching, nothing scary. Just creepy, not ominous.
So it's kind of a, as a skeptic myself.
Totally.
But also, see it as a marketing boon. There are so many people who want to see. They want to come sit and wear and experience that too.
Yeah.
Did it feel kind of weird, like going that direction, like, okay, let's go with it?
It's so funny. So my boss started our flashlight tours, and he literally was like, I think people are going to show up and be like, why aren't you turning on the lights? Why are we doing this in the dark? And by the end, they're like, this is the greatest thing ever. And you're like, okay, maybe there's something to this. Yeah. And that's when we started to kind of go down that path of like, hey, if we're going to tell the stories of our ghosts, let's tell our whole story. Because the ghosts are a part of our story. So that's something that we kind of took that mentality of, A, how can we be respectful? Because there are still people like Irv, who have family around, and we want to talk about the impact that this individual had on the theater. And if they still want to be here and this is what people think, fantastic. But we're not going to try to, you know, we're not going to have an Irv shirt or something of that nature. It's more about telling the story of the theater as compared to commodifying an individual, because I agree, that feels icky. Yeah. We definitely want it to be more on what's the impact, what's the story, and what's happened here in the last 96 years, and hopefully another 96 to go. So yeah, that is a great point. And we do have some great other theaters that we've leaned on. Like there's a great one down in Tampa that started the Booze and Spirits Tour. So we leaned on them and said, hey, how did you start doing this? What do your patrons like? So that, again, we're not reinventing the wheel, and we can lean on our community of what have you seen? How can we do this respectfully? How can we do this so people are engaging, but still telling our story? So good. Yes, okay. We've absolutely considered how to do this in a respectful manner.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But I might buy a Green Lady shirt.
Please. We do have a Green Lady drink, and it's a glowing green ice cube in there. And I think she likes it because she's a flirt. She has fun. And so
she's a theater person.
Right? We literally talked about that because we're like, if we're going to do a themed drink, we're like, I think the lady in green would find it the most fun. So we even had that type of discussion of like, what can we do? What's a fun way? And so that's a Flashlight Tour exclusive. You can only get that there.
What's in it?
It's got Midori, it's got Tito's, it's got Bacardi, and then it's got a little bit of lemon lime. Yeah, it's a nice sweet drink, a nice easy drink. It was a tough day when we had to taste test at work. Like, oh, darn.
Is there an herb ashtray?
We don't have that. We do have his desk, though. Okay. So that's the main point, and I'll show you. So we had a person here, my sister's friend, that's the medium. And so Irv is on our Wikipedia page. So if people come in as a medium and start talking about him, I'm a little skeptical. Where I'm like, I get that you Googled us. And so she starts talking about him right off the bat. And I'm like, But then she starts saying, I'm seeing his name on a golden ticket. And I was like, I have no idea why you would see his name on a golden ticket. We go throughout the rest of the tour, doesn't come back up. So she's like, can I see his desk? And I was like, yeah. And I had only started working here for just a little bit at that point. And I said, actually, I've never looked through it. Open it up, and there in gold on a little plaque is his name. And I was like, you're kidding me. Like, so it's one of those things. Coincidence? I don't know, but very unexplainable, where you're like, I don't know how you would have gotten that. I don't know where this would have come from. So yeah, he definitely gets to be still part of the action with the desk there. But no Irv ashtray right now. We do have I Survived an Egyptian Theater Flashlight Tour shirt, though. Okay. So at the end of the tour, if you survive it, you can buy a t-shirt and it supports our nonprofit.
And if you don't survive?
Then you're here forever. And we get to talk about you. Yeah. You get to be a feature.
Nice.
So this is the desk. So you can see he's right in the middle of the action. But
right in the lobby,
Irv on a golden ticket.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So something I had never known. Did not know that was a thing. But yeah. Yeah.
He's a juicy fruit chewer.
Yeah. These are the things that our contractors find in the walls. Believe it or not, you can even look
over
there.
There's a Q-tip and a Hershey's with almonds.
Yeah, you know. And what year does that look like it's from?
That's
right.
That's got to be the 70s era. Oh,
and that was fun during the contracting. So when we were actually doing the expansion, many of the contractors we used were local. We used Irving Construction. We were using Swedberg. A lot of people that were around here. And so they'd come up to me like, Janine, look what I found in the wall. Look what I got.
Wow.
And you'd be like, heck yeah, that's awesome, man. Let's put it in the display case. So it felt like they were sharing in our story, sharing in this expansion with us, because so many of them were like, I grew up doing spring things here. I grew up coming to the theater. And that's what we love, because, you know, we always joke that we're just the stewards of the building in this time and place. Hopefully in another 96 years, there's another Janine, another Alex making this happen. Yeah. And we just get to be the placeholders.
Can I ask you, I mean, it's just slightly off topic, how did DeKalb, Illinois end up with a theater called the Egyptian?
That's a really
great Because there's
only question.
Like two others in
yeah,
the country.
Yeah, we're up to now six, I believe, that's okay. left. But there used to be over 100. And it was because of the discovery of King Tut's tomb. So King Tut was discovered in 1922.
And at the time, atmospheric theaters, where you kind of feel like you walk in and you're escaping. So you get a lot of Arabian theaters, right. The Chinese theaters. And so at that time, Egyptian became the new motif. So there used to be 100 of them. They weren't anything like a chain. It was just kind of that trend in architecture. So that's why sometimes you'll see kind of that 20s architecture that has that Egyptian influence, especially in Chicago. So that's how we got an Egyptian theater. Okay. And so we're lucky. We're the only fully Egyptian theater left that's east of the Rocky Mountains. Yeah. All of the rest of them are in the mountains or like L.A.
No, yeah, they're all in big cities.
Big cities. Like Netflix owns the one in L.A. Oh. Good for them. But yes, we remain a nonprofit. We've been that since 1978.
Great.
And that's what's really, I find, being the joy of working at a theater is we want to have big shows like, you know, the World Ballet Theater coming in to bring great quality ballet to a nice rural community. But part of that mission is also sharing our story and helping those in our community share their stories. Like we just had Safe Passage here for their vigil a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
That's so key to what we do. We want to open the doors so they can have a free event, better serve our community, and we can just be the host and the space holders. So that's what we love, is kind of that mix of the big stuff and then the stuff that really has that impact in our community. And the ghosts are a part of it, which is a great part. You know, I love to talk about them. It's my most favorite thing.
Sue, I'm a little scared after that podcast.
It was pretty amazing, I have to say. And I understand just theaters, a lot of theaters have their own ghost, and we'd love to hear from listeners about some more ghostly encounters in local theaters. Wouldn't that be cool?
Let us know if you've had a ghostly encounter in a theater, or if you know a good ghost light in a local theater. Send us a picture of that. You can email us at rocks@niu.edu. Another website to go check out, EgyptianTheater.org. Sue, they do the Booze and Spirits event quarterly, Janine mentioned, so that'll be coming back this winter and then again in the summer. It sounds like a really cool tour, and you can get a firsthand look at everything that we just saw at the Egyptian today.
And maybe encounter your own ghost.
That's right.
Janine Holcomb is just an outstanding host, too. That was wonderful.
She was fantastic. I'm sure she's a great tour guide.
Oh, yeah.
On those Booze and Spirits tours. Thanks so much to Janine Holcomb for showing us around, sharing the ghost stories with us. Sue, there was even something supernatural that happened to us while we were recording didn't make it into the show.
Yeah, we may have had our own ghostly encounter. It only showed up on my recorder, which, you know, maybe mine has more connections to the afterlife than yours. I don't know. But
this is while we were up on the balcony. Take a listen to this. Sue's mic picked up this strange sound.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I was on this balcony.
Getting interference, are you?
Don't. Really?
Mm-hmm.
And so, is it a ghost or electrical magnetic interference?
Or both?
You decide.
Thanks for listening.